I want to speak upon a very solemn and searching message. Christ's sharp question for such a time as this. Found in John's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 67. Will ye also go away? The most wounding attack in church life is not the direct lampooning of the declared and open enemy, but rather the perfidy of its familiar friends. The worst attack on God's servants and Christ's church is not the open treachery and wickedness of their enemies, but the rather the attacks upon them by false brethren and traitors. The prophetic scriptures tell us of the lament of our Lord. Yea, my own familiar friend, Christ says, in whom I trusted, which did eat my bread, has lifted up my heel against me. The saints of God in the battle prefer the rotten eggs of the crowd to be thrown at them than that grief that comes from the devilish hatred and lies of those who once professed to be their friends but have now become their slanderers. Read the exchange between our Lord and Judas, and you will realize how deep and wounding is the strike of the betrayer. Those who once joined in the company of the saints, but then turned back to hell's wide gates and broad road, are those of whom the scripture states, they went out from us because they were not of us. If they had been of us, doubtless they would have continued with us. Such persons God will sift out from our congregation. But the minister and the people will be greatly wounded in that struggle. If, however, their master was slandered, labeled to be the devil himself, and called the prince of the devil, we who are the servants of Christ must also bear the cross, enduring gladly its pain and its anguish. The sifting of the congregation goes on unceasingly as Christ separates the chaff from the wheat. To every person in his church, Christ questions, will ye also go away? Will ye also go away? I want to ask the question, what causes this defection? First, let me say that this defection comes because the defectors cannot stand up and obey the commandments of the Lord. The doctrine of God they cannot and will not conform to. And with all hell's manufactured excuses, they turn their back willfully upon the Son of God, kicking against the pricks of God's revealed truth. is one of the reasons for their rebellion, their treachery, and their blasphemy. With their prejudices aroused, they strike at the Savior. And they strike at Him by striking at all His true disciples. Anything which cuts at sin and its attractions is anathema to them. They resist the law of God, and with the inspiration of the devil, they spend their time blaspheming the Savior. They are confounded and turn their slanderous tongues to abuse Him and to abuse those who love Him. They want to run with the hares, but pretend to hunt with the hounds. Old John Bunyan came up with the proper identification label for such. He called such individuals Mr. Byends. Mr. Byends came from a two-faced family, and he himself excelled in the sinful twist. His guiding star was not the enrichment of the church, but the enrichment of himself. His decision was always weighted on the decision, what he thought was best and most profitable for himself. He was not prepared to conform to God's law, but rather to break them all, as long as their twisted estimation saw giant gains. Mr. Spurgeon, addressing the family of Mr. Byends in one of his sermons, says, "Sell your wares and find a market for your merchandise. But do not sell Christ, nor barter a heavenly birthright for a worthless bribe. Put what goods you please into your shop window, but do not put up a hypocritical expression on your face, or wear a holy leer with a view to turning godliness into gain. God save us from such arrogant villainy. May we not have any place here. May it never have a footing in our midst. Neither man nor angel can discern hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is the only evil that walks invisible except to God alone. God save us all out of its damnable clutches." Secondly, some of these defectors have come about because they hate the reproach of the cross. There is a reproach of the cross of Christ which every sinner hates. At heart, sinful men and women are base-born, ill-bred cowards. They love sneering at others, lying about others, misrepresenting others. All sinners are base-born. They are ill-bred. They are cowards. That is the fact of life. Hear the blaspheming cry of the atheist. Behold the conduct of those who hate Christ's day, that they might engage in Lord's Day desecration campaigns. How they fight hymn singing, church attendance, Bible loving, commandment keeping, and witnessing Christians. Rather, they hail the drunkard as their friend, and call this sober man a fiend. They unite one with another, joining together to seem to portray the true Christians as the butts of the whole community. When the believer witnesses to and defends by speech and example, they slander and say he is filled with the devil. He that fears God, however, can face all of these accusations because he or she possesses the strength of a new birth. They have been born again. He that fears God can face his accusers victoriously. They detest those who are peddlers of hell's filthiness. Unstable as water, these hypocrites will be exposed. They grow quickly. They die away more quickly. Like all houses built upon the sand, they will fall speedily. Up today, smashed tomorrow. Some defect from Christ because of a change of circumstances. When all goes well, they present an outward conformity to the divine truth of the gospel. But when they lose out on the material world, they throw away all pretense about being spiritual or about even being Christians. Remember, it's not what you wear matters. It is that which you really are. Others defect because of an increase in their wealth and social standing. Their humility has floated away because of the increase of worldly goods. They loved God's humble house, where they were received by true and loving Christians. Now, as they have been bribed by the world and the devil, they now hate the things they once claimed to love. It is plainly demonstrated many times in church history that the majority of Christians in the world were illiterate. Yet even the learned and noble were happy to be part of the one church family. Keep to the book. See you keep God's commandments gladly, and you will be able to shout in the darkest hour, hallelujah to the Lamb who died on Mount Calvary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, may we ask the question tonight, what will become of these defectors? If a man is truly born again and strays into enchanted ground and turns away from the Bible, he or she will be miserable. There will be no rest for them. After a while, they will remember the past, and by repentance they will return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon them and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 55:7. With earnest tears and true repentance, if they were really genuinely saved, they will be restored. Furthermore, they who resist the call, God will chastise, for there is a sin unto death, and the results of their hardness will be the ground for solemn and terrible justice. The sin unto death is not the unpardonable sin committed by one who refuses the call of Christ and as a result is damned. For him there's no repentance, there's no forgiveness, and there's no escape from from hell. No saved person can ever be lost because they are partakers of the endless life, the eternal life that Christ gave them the day he saved them. But a Christian can commit the sin unto death when God takes away their life suddenly on earth. But remember, the ungodly Christ rejecter will perish, and they will end in the same hell as Judas Iscariot. You can, like Judas, kiss Christ and then be damned. Ah, dear unregenerate friend in this meeting, you are at this moment a lost soul. You stand on the slippery floor of an ungodly earth. I would this night, with tears in my eyes, warn you. Flee, flee, sinner, from the fire of destruction. Flee from a lost sinner's eternity. Eternity! Eternity! Where will you spend eternity? May the good and loving God have mercy this night upon those of you who are hell bent for a lost eternity. Look to Jesus now. Tarry no longer in sin. Seek, seek, seek the Lord now. Look to Jesus and him alone. Trust not yourself, but trust Christ alone. Why you should not go away from Christ? I'll tell you why. Because he did not go away from you. Think of the journey he took for you from heaven to earth. Think of all he forsook for you. Think of his sacrifice. Think of the agonies he endured and the pains he partook of on the cross. Behold him tonight, crowned with thorns, nailed to the old tree of the cross, bleeding and torn. Why? It was you that was responsible for his death. He died the just for the unjust to bring you to God. If he had not done so, you could not be offered forgiveness. If your religion is but a sham, cry out for real salvation from your sins. Get unto the rock. Come unto salvation ground. Let me tell you a story in closing. A wealthy lady advertised for a coachman. Three candidates applied for the situation. She put to the first one this question. I want a really good coachman to drive my pair of horses. And therefore I ask you how near you can drive to danger and yet be safe. Well, he said, I could drive very near indeed. I could go within a foot of the precipice without fear of any accident as long as I hold the reins. She dismissed him with the remark that he would not do for the office she was advertising. To the next one who came, she put the same question. How near could you drive to danger? being determined to get the place, the applicant said, I could drive within a hair's breadth and yet skillfully avoid any mishap. She said, you will not do. When the third applicant came, his mind was cast in another mold. So when the question was put to him, how near could you drive to danger? He said, Madam, I have never tried. It has been a rule with me to drive as far off from danger as I possibly can. The lady engaged him at once. In like manner, I believe that the man who is careful to run no risk and to refrain from all evil conduct, having the fear of God in his heart, is most to be relied upon. If you're really built on the rock of ages, you will meet the question without dismay. Will you also go away? And your reply will be, no, Lord, I cannot go away. I will not go away, for to whom should I go? Thou only hast the words of eternal life. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body may be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. I pray, God, that you, dear sinner friend, will be able to say with the poet, lost in the ruins of the fall, I lay an awful night till the great Jehovah changed my heart and gave me heavenly light. Born of the Lord, I feel a power that draws to Jesus' blood, loosens my soul from the gates of sin and ties it fast to God. Born of the Lord, I can't allow that sin should rule the heart, but long that every evil thought might evermore depart. Born of the Lord, I soon shall fly to his bright abode, rise to the honors of his throne, to live and reign with God. I trust this night no one will leave this house in the darkness of condemnation, but you will leave it in the glory of justification. The just shall live by faith. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you now. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for its challenge. We thank thee, our God, that there can be light instead of darkness. There can be heaven instead of hell. There can be joy instead of suffering and woe. Oh, draw the sinners tonight to the Savior. Draw the backslider back to his Redeemer. And draw us closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I cannot go away. To whom will I go? O Lord, thou only hast eternal life. May everyone prove that practically and eternally in their hearts. And may God's grace and God's mercy and be peace and peace be with us. And everybody said, Amen.